Hello, this is Terry Laundrie. Welcome to T3 Observations for Sunday, February 20th, 2011. Quite a few things to go over today. I will summarize some of the important topics that we're going to talk about. First of all, the short-term top that we are projecting with a moderate correction into a very late February or early March type of a low, correction low, and then on to new highs, peaking in around the 1st of May, remains intact, so there's no change on that. I did want to put in the fact that you can review that forecast and any other stuff by going down to the bottom of this page and then looking at the prior posts. That prior post for the 13th will contain that the details of that one. It's based on Parker's money flow tees, which come into the say that you're either topping on the 14th or an extension to that forecast into the 24th, 26th, and my preference is to go to go that far. Friday's close is very weak. It's possible that the market's ready to roll over and go down now. However, I do believe that what you'll do is you'll still contain that whatever weakness follows early in the week, and then you'll pop up towards the end of the week, get to that 24th, 26th area, and then you'll see the correction. I also will talk about some of the new research that's going on in the best bond strategy. And that is in the February 6th. I will have to make a reference back to the February 6th posting. So if you go down to the bottom of the page and open up 56, you can read the posting that was done on February 6th. And we're going to switch over and talk about a conversation that I had with Peter Eliades. Well, we get together every now and then. Peter's very cleverly worked out the correct forecast for the 1982 bottom, and I did it with long-range tees, and he did it with cycles. He's very good on that, so I told him about a new cycle that I had discovered, which is basically the harmonic of the 40-year cycle, and how this had somewhat changed the very long-term forecast, and I asked him his opinion on it, and I told him that I thought it was going to become very powerful, and it was going to become the basis for T3 T-Theory Foundation is going to introduce the first time its own seminar, which wouldn't come until we get into the September time period, if then. And what I had to do is I had to discuss the concept of this cycle with them and see if it's as important as I thought it was going to be. And so what I have done is I have posted a statement which is in the top of the page here. It says, for info on the team on the seminars, contact Paula Burke. You have a telephone number and her email address. We haven't decided on anything, but I over the next few weeks and the next few months, we'll be making a decision on that. If you just email, if you're interested, if you think you might be interested in it, if you just email Paula and ask her to be put on the list, then what we'll do is we'll publish a list and saying, well, what the details are going to be, and you can free to choose it one way, you know, decide whether you're interested in it or not. And that would be here in Nantucket. My place is capable of holding about 30 or 40, so it wouldn't be a very large seminar. And we would, the earliest time would be in the September time period, assuming that the research that would go on this new cycle, which you call the harmonic of the 40-year cycle, and a couple of other projects that we're running would be the basis for that seminar. Also, another project that we're working on is that they were outgrowing the needs of this particular website, and so I have people that are working on moving us to something that has more interesting capabilities, and just want to alert you that all of the presentations and the archives and so forth will stay at this site. It's just that when we make the move, the T-Theory Foundation will point to a new website, and then at the end of that web page will link you back to the current website for the archives. And so most of the stuff that's down there will always become available, and I'll always refer you back to where you can find this stuff. But it's not going to be part of the new presentations, because we have some, we're moving on to other ideas. In preparation for doing that, I did have us look over the Pitbull copy, which is up at the top, and we have I believe we have extracted everything which can come out of the Pitbull the relative to teeth theory by Marty Schwartz. And what we've done is we've found new information up there. So I would suggest that you read through the whole thing. And when you go through there, you'll find there's a word, bilateral symmetry. And bilateral symmetry is exactly the term that I am looking for to describe the new projects. And bilateral symmetry I will define bilateral symmetry in this presentation here today. And then I will show you three interesting cases of bilateral symmetry so you get the idea. And you will probably get a little bit fuller a description of what we call T-theory time symmetry, because actually bilateral symmetry is the more powerful technique, and I will show you a couple examples of bilateral symmetry just to embed that as a, you know, to get the idea how we're going along on that. So let's first start here with the forecast. In the PDF chart below, you can see that the S&P 500 is still riding along the up of the channel. Friday's data, you had the Dow was up 73 points, and nothing good was coming out of that one. So I would think that you're going to start to roll off, and though you're going to start the correction, but I think that after you go down for a couple of days and you hold it, you're going to have one more pop up to the upside, and then at that point you get to the point which is labeled P in the chart, which is in this ringing cycle where you reach the latter part before you drop into the old cycle low is beginning to run out of time. You're 80% of the way through this what we call the ringing cycle, which is the numbered lows in here, and then you're going to curl over and you're going to come down to what would be the midpoint of the channel, which is defined by 55-day exponential moving average. Well, I can use bilateral symmetry in a new concept to tell you that there's a different way you can do that. You get the same answer as far as the price levels that you're coming back into, but it turns out that it has to do with the market can't, based on bilateral symmetry and the cash buildup concept, which Marty mentions the cash buildup also, that's another key term that's in his copy, is that you can't go below the center post low of that small 32-day cash buildup T, the little green one in there, and that's the maximum you can do and still be in a bullish trend. And so that gives you another level, which is shown by the red line, which is the current floor. And that conclusion is identical as far as the S&P 500 with the mid-channel. So you don't have to use the 55-day moving average. You can just argue it by coming back in bilateral symmetry and pick up the date that way. And hopefully that they'll both come out and be right. But it is kind of a compression because you're trying to push a top. You try to push a top, and then you try to push a bottom. As soon as it cracks down, you're trying to get the bottom. So it's good to have two concepts there in order to get the thing to play out, because it becomes very violent at the time it's going through this rigmarole. But it should all come out back at the bottom. So you should know where the buy points are, and well, we'll see how it goes. Let's see. I think we're probably going to move on to the discussion that I had with Peter Eliades, because we talk every now and then. And so the discussion was, what do you think about the market? Why is it going up so much stronger than we thought? And I said, Peter, I says, the thing is kind of gaining momentum here. And I have discovered this cycle, which we have researched back to 66. But we haven't gone back into the 40s, where you have to go back in order to verify it. And I think it's a very profound discovery, and you're the cycle expert guy, so I described what the cycle was. And I said that one of the changes that you get in the forecast when you factor this in is that that we're still okay on this big downside projection. I says, now, Peter, you've been talking about the Dow going under 5,000. He says, yeah, I still have a projection going down to the 4,000 level. And I said, Peter, you could sort of get things going really good here. He says, you could actually get up close to the you could make a double top in the Dow Jones Industrial Average relative to the 07 high, which is like 14,000. I said, you never know what's going to happen when you get these things going up. I said, it's just not my forecast, but I just wanted to mention. He says, yes, he knows about that. And I said, but it doesn't, but this cycle, the harmonic cycle, says that it doesn't really matter. The real drop in the market is into the 2015 to 2016 low. And that is that's a slight change from the other low that we had talked about, which was the late 2012 to late 2013 level. That we've been talking about in you go back in the archives, is that one. And I said that's a phony low. And he says, yes. He says, that's correct. He says, that's what he agreed with that. He says, what it is you're going to roll over a little later than we think. He says, but you go down to this late 2012 low, and then he says you're going to get a 9-month rally out of it, and then you're going to roll over, and then you're going to go. He didn't confirm the 2013, the 2015 to 16 low, but he says you just get into this. That's where you really go into the big thing. So the fact that you're kind of rolling it over isn't important as far as getting the whole thing out, but it drags the thing out. So I told him I thought that the cycle was really the key, but then he reminded me. He said, you know, Terry, he says, I told you the exact date of the 07 top based on a gigantic advanced client tee that I found, and you don't remember that, do you? And he says, incidentally, I can tell you with the date of the next top, this top that we're going to go through here, because so I said, well, would you refresh my memory? And he said, well, coming out of the Great Depression, the advanced New York advanced decline line, the one that we usually follow, had a big run up from the Depression period, and then it curled over and made tops in the late 1950s. Okay, then it rolled over and it rolled down into the 74 low. And he says, so that's a gigantically large advanced decline tee. So what he did was he put the left end of the tee out back into the 1950s, and he says he went down to find the low, and he says, and he calculated the top date. He says, I gave it to you. It was exactly the right date. And I said, well, I guess I kind of missed that, probably because I wasn't that happy with resting everything on this one big T, although the idea of that T did occur to me because I thought it might be a little bit fuzzy, and I thought the more recent data would be better, which is T12. So he says, if you'd like, he says, I'd be perfectly happy to make the calculation. He says, all you do is move the center post of the T over, and because there's a multiple bottom problem, and he says, and if you'd like to, I'll calculate the date and give it to you. I says, that's fine. So he's going to do that for me, and I'll ask him for a chart or something like that, so he make it a little more explicit for you, and we'll see whether that's correct. However, I still believe to do it the other way. The better way to do it is to more or less concentrate on what this harmonic cycle is doing, because it's a smaller cycle, and you kind of get more information. You get the where the bottom date's going to be when it falls into a low, and you can sort of see the range of the curvature, and you can use this bidirectional symmetry that I'm going to talk about in terms of the cash buildup phases in my daily chart to kind of show ways how you can zero in on that sort of stuff. So that's pretty much what the story was with Peter Eliades, except that I mentioned to him, I said, you know, Peter, isn't it unusual? We've been in the business since the 70s, but the person that was even more, has been around even longer, extremely well known, very competent, is Richard Russell. And Richard Russell has been preaching to people this business about, you know, you got to own the gold, and you know, the stock market is basically a high-risk proposition, and everybody should have some, as a standard of value, should have in the gold. Well, recently, Richard Russell has come out and says for major change in his forecast is he's recommending people own blue chip stocks. He works with the Dow theory, so he's talking about the diamonds, which is the ETF for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, as opposed to the S&P 500, which is more growth oriented, which is perfectly logical to do. I have no doubt that he knows what he's doing, because he is probably the senior person that's been around. And I said, but isn't it unusual that the gold bugs, or at least one gold bug, is now recommending common stocks? I said, you know, if this thing ever takes off, with everybody is recommending common stocks, you actually could find out that you get it up to the, it's a little over 14,000 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And Richard Russell says that actually the gold is the right thing to own, but he says Americans don't like to buy the gold. And he says, so there's resistance. He says, I keep writing about it, but nobody pays attention to it. You know, that's what one of the problems you have. Even when you're right, people don't pay attention to you. And you go, so the question is, what's the alternative? Well, if you go back through the history of common stocks, it has been shown in the period coming out of the Depression, where there was a concern because you were going out of the Depression into growth, that if you own common stock, they were a hedge against inflation of a mild nature. So in his own mind, I'm sure that he thinks that's the right thing to do. I told Peter, I says, you know, you got to watch out, because if you get the brokers are all going to sell common stocks, which are not cheap, and we have this 40-year cycle, so as you're going into a Depression, you can figure out whether the Dow is going down to 4,000 or you know, something like 4,000, lower than 4,000 or is coming. He says it's kind of dangerous for people to kind of latch onto this business, because the brokers are going to keep selling you on buying common stocks. And he says, and if the gold bugs turn around and they say, who have been preaching that don't ever buy common stocks, they're going to tell you to buy common stocks. I said, you're going to listen to a this reinforcement that everybody, I says, you could run away on the upside. And I said, I saw that happen in the 80s and the 90s when you were rising up. The argument didn't hold that everybody was bullish, therefore it couldn't go up. It turns out that everybody was bullish. You went into a mania at the end of the uptrend, which is which was the dot-com bubble. And I said, so the argument that people are presenting right now, that everybody knows it's bullish, that there's nothing, no money left to discount the market to carry it any higher, therefore we are at a top now, is it can become dangerous if it turns out all the gold bugs who've been preaching don't buy common stocks, buy gold, turn around and they start sell the gold. And I says, that happens to be an interesting case of bidirectional symmetry, but of a general category. And the general category of bidirectional symmetry, is that you, I'll just describe this as my interpretation of bidirectional. If you go to a schoolyard and you watch kids that are on a seesaw, and you notice that, and you're looking at one, and you see the guy on the left is down low, and the guy on the other end of the seesaw to the right is up high. And you watch them, you'll see that when the guy that's on the left down low kicks off and comes up, the other guy on the right always comes back down, and he ends up to be on the floor. And they go back and forth like this. And he says, but it's always a case where when one goes up, the other one goes down, and vice versa. I says, you never see a seesaw where both guys on either end of the seesaw go down together to the ground, nor do you ever see, not normally anyway, a rise where both of them come up. I says, it's bidirectionally symmetrical in an inverted form. And I said that one of the things that you came out of in the 80s, 90s case, which occurred to me along the way, but I didn't ever formalize it, is that if you had... if you know, go back to the 1974, that looked like you were in the end of the world, okay? And nobody wanted to have common stocks at the time. By the time you went through the mega T, which was the 40-year cycle with the 20 years on the upside, there has to be a mania at the other side, because it's the other end of the seesaw. So the 74, everything is down. When you get to the other, and everybody is bearish, the other end of the seesaw, which is in the year 2000, is the point in which everybody will become bullish. And I said, there's a danger right now that this last low that we had was so intensely bearish that the people who told you that you'll die if you own common stocks because the whole world is going to end will end up in the end of this harmonic cycle talking out, saying that They're the other end of the seesaw, and they are going to come forth, and they are going to say to you, your salvation is only in owning common stocks, which is exactly the opposite to what they might have said at the bottom. And in that case, that argument is the argument of the Judas goat that comes and comes in the bottom zone to mislead you, but it's always there. The dot-com revolution can be considered to be the Judas goat of the bottom zone. Don't pay attention to the fact that stocks are too high. This is the secret, and everybody wanders up. It's like a pipe piper. They pull you off into this whole problem zone. So I said, it's potentially very dangerous to have people who warned you against the common stocks as being a very high risk situation, which we both believe is the case, will come forth and tell you that you have it. But it's perfectly normal. It's bidirectional symmetry in the fact that you have to have opposite motions at the ends of the seesaw. The other thing that I have to make use of is that if you look at the average position of the seesaw, it's always that on average over time, each of the kids has the average height is the same. That is, the average position of the seesaw is it's flat, and instead of being down at the bottom or up 3 or 4 feet, it's actually the midpoint of that too. So the average position of the seesaw is flat, but they go up in opposite directions, up and down in an opposite sequence, and then they reverse their position and so forth. So that's all I need to have to talk about as far as that is concerned. But I do believe that if you keep an eye out, and you'll find out that people that told you the common stocks were bad, and they change over to common stocks are going to be good, and then Wall Street tells you common stocks are good all the time. He says you can't get this confluence of it's a mania, but it's a predictable mania based on the idea of the symmetry, which is bilateral in nature. Okay, so let's now move on to what. Now we've talked about the. Just mention what was in the PDF chart, because that's there's a lot of complexities in that chart, and there's a lot of ways you can drive this thing right through this harmonic cycle by knowing the definition of a bull market in terms of lows that occur at the end of cash buildup phases, which is not the same as somebody's opinion of where a market low is. It's specifically defined as the end of the cash buildup phase. We have as Marty Schwartz says, they're building up the money on the bottom zone, ready to go again. And when you take those lows, you can go through and you can do a pretty good job of defining the changes in the forecast. Now, when I went through that in the bottom zone, by the end of November, by early December, I had to change my forecast using that technique, and people said, oh, they can't possibly be right. Okay, yeah. So now you got the people that are the gold bugs are trying to tell you that there's virtue in owning common stocks as a hedge against inflation, and I got the value the T in the Tocqueville gold is running out. Okay, gold is doing fine printing up, but they're not buying it on the gold stocks, which is a negative concern. It's a negative divergence is what it's called. Okay, but you can watch this stuff starting to happen, and you may not be able to figure it out, but I can see it coming through this concept of bilateral symmetry. Now let's go on. So I will deal with that in the future, and so it's an interesting subject, and you can keep coming back to it week after week after week. Now we're going to go down to the best bonds strategies summaries, and I'm going to talk about bilateral symmetry to get started on it. And there's an audio, you're going to turn the audio on, and then you go look at this chart which I made up, which is a simple little chart. And I just going to start to shift it around to talking about this in the next section. So I'll take a little break here, then we'll be back and we'll talk about the best bond in terms of bilateral symmetry.